Yep.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Late Show with Brancy Weatherman.
Yeah. One, two, three, four.
Up this morning, looking for my shoes. Look behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Blues overtake me, rock away from here. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Just in time, because, you know, we're already coming into fall, so...
It's around the corner.
You know, yeah.
Do you mean pumpkin spice season?
No, I mean Halloween. You know, one of the greatest holidays of all time.
Yep. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Pumpkin spice, I'm telling you, okay. I'm telling you, Sunday night, I'm going to have a pumpkin spice song lit up on the switchboard. We're going to do a pumpkin spice song. All right. And don't forget, Sunday night, we are going to have Jason, Wolfgang, Gaylord. Woohoo! So, we are busy little bees. But yeah, you're right. We're getting Sal just in time because Christmas is. You know what? Right now we're talking about pumpkin spice season. We're going to be in the Christmas season, and we're going to be like, remember, we were just talking about pumpkin spice and Halloween. What happened?
Well, that's a very good question. So, but I got an even better question.
Time waits for no one.
Yeah, that's true. So, since we got out ahead of time, does that mean we get to give Sal our Christmas list now?
Oh! Yeah! Be prepared, Sal. I'm sure William has a really long, long list. All right, before we get to Sal, don't forget we do have to pay the bills here. So here's our sponsor, Mr. Nicholas Grabowski with Black Bed Sheet Books.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. We've got a lot going on at Black Bedsheet Books, especially, what a summer. And now we're getting into the greatest time of the year, which you're just talking about. You just mentioned Halloween. And I am now actually outside with my cell phone. While I am talking, I am bringing out the Halloween stuff, more of the Halloween stuff. We got a lot of stuff to get ready for our big Halloween event that we always have every Halloween, Woo-hoo! Trying to top 900 trick-or-treaters this year by over 1,000, hopefully. And we're going to be well prepared. So as we speak, too, I'm bringing stuff down, putting stuff up, all that jazz. But with Black Bedsheet Books, though, we've got about 4 books coming out this in September before October happens, including stuff by Fred Weehe, Raina Young, Miss Misery herself, and we've got Carson Buckingham, and we also have Chuck W. Chapman's new book, which he was here on Francine Friends on Sunday night. And so we've got those to wrap up. And we also have, and this is the first time you've heard it on Francine Friends, but Tom Gade Olawson, which has a great horror poetry book out from us about 3 years ago. He is the host of Swedish Hauntings in Sweden, and he's coming out with some really fine, like horrifying, greatly entertaining stuff. So look cool. out for that. And as always, go to blackbedsheetbooks.com for everything Black Bedsheet. Also uniquely at Facebook, on our Facebook groups page. We have as I've often said, we have a legitimate page on Facebook, but everybody pays attention to the group page. And that's where you find brand new announcements before before we release it anywhere. So anywho, yep. And because I'm putting up Halloween stuff, I'm putting up Black Bedsheet posters everywhere, including posters of books of our authors and stuff, which are up like 24/7 around here. If you look here at Black Bedsheet Studios, even on YouTube, I'll give you a tour. Look it up. It's really neat. But I'm putting up more because it's not just about Halloween. It's about exploiting our books. Fred Weehe is going to be here signing free books. I'm going to be signing free copies of my novelization of Halloween 4, as usual, until they run out, as usual, and they run out soon. And we're giving out candy. We're going to try to have, local businesses, local restaurants, pass out, little free hors d'oeuvres on toothpicks, things like that. So it's going to be unique this time. We're opening up the backyard, and like last year where we couldn't because of COVID, it's going to be fantastic. So Black Bedsheet Books, I'm juggling with the whole Halloween thing. So I guess that's it for Hansi.
That's it. Sounds like it's a lot.
Yep.
I will tell you, the little guy works around the clock. He really does. I'm not the night owl. I will fall asleep at 10 o'clock, and I might wake up to go potty, and I might come out here, and at 3 o'clock in the morning,
yeah, but you told me to
get the computer tapping away.
I couldn't keep yogurt in the refrigerator. I had to get that separate.
So, Nick, what's your secret, then?
Yeah. What's my secret? I'm a vampire.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm an alien.
There we go. That works.
I'm something. I don't know what I am, honestly. It's called ambition, I think. Ambition versus I have to do this or else.
Someone
let people down and, you know, you have to busy yourself and get stuff done in life to give your life more and more meaning and to influence people and inspire others. I think that actually I got a little philosophical there, but when it comes right down to it, I think that's it.
Well, hey, that's
really
works.
You know what? I
want to.
Yeah.
No, you can't. I'm going to go for about 5 minutes, do a couple of things in the yard, come back to the show. But I wanted to say about Sal. It's really kind of funny because Francie has a bearded dragon that she adores named Hermie. And I was going, you know what? You know what's a great name for a bearded dragon? Sal Lizard.
He did. He actually said that. And I was going to mention that. And Sal, you're on.
Hello there.
Hey. Nick did actually tell me that right before we were back. I called in to open up the switchboard and everything. And I said, you know what? I'm going to tell Sal the next lizard we get, we're going to name him Sal.
You know what's funny is that I always when we would watch like Game of Thrones and things like that, I would assure my granddaughter and my grandchildren, because they like dinosaurs, I would say, you know, dinosaurs, dragons, those are just big lizards.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a big lizard. And, yes, I am a bearded lizard, so.
There we go. We got
all the check marks.
Yeah. Got that checked off, man.
You got my endorsement.
All right. And I don't want Hermie to go, believe me. I don't want to kill him off just to get a new lizard to name him Sal. Hopefully it might be 20 years from now, because they do live a long time if you take care of them. He's doing pretty good.
That's right.
You know, I might tag you on some kind of social media, whatever available 20 years later, and I'm going to say, here's Sal. Sal, meet
right.
Sal.
You know, I always tell people, they'd say, you know, What are you going to do? Are you going to kill yourself the way you're going? And I go, are you kidding? I plan on living to be 325 years old. And they said,
wow.
Really? And I, yeah. And they said, why so long? I said, first off, I just want to outlive my wife. And then the other thing is I said, I just want to piss everybody off.
Well, that's two good reasons.
I'm already telling people, hell, I'm 60 years old. I'll say what the hell I want to say. You know, I don't have any regrets about it. You know, when people go, you're plain spoken, I go, yep. I've lived long enough that I can just say what I want to say now.
Exactly.
Guess what? The filter's off.
What is Sal short for?
Oh, he wants to know what Sal is
short for. I'm curious.
Sal? Is he? Sal?
Did we lose him?
No, he's still there.
Sal?
Hello?
Nope, we lost him.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
oh, no.
We'll wait. I was going to say, oh, my gosh, I hope he didn't. We'll wait for him.
Well,
he'll
while we're waiting for him, Nick, when are you going to start hanging up some flyers for the Halloween shindig?
Flyers. Well, probably flyers on social media. It's like old school to like put them up on telephone poles, and nobody cares anyway. But all we have to do is actually start decorating, and just like the Kevin Costner movie Field of Dreams, you know, if you build it, they will come. It happens every year. You just have to put them up. But Francie even tells me that people, like on Facebook, local people have been asking, you are putting up your Halloween stuff this year, aren't you? And stuff. So we've already gotten feedback.
Good.
Yeah. I hope that with Sal Lizard, it wasn't like a secret, kind of like a something where he's not supposed to say what his name is short for. he's got to like call back though. I'm sure there's no offense. It was I thought that was a good way to help start things off, because I kind of always wanted to know, what is it? I always thought that it was Salisbury steak.
Oh. Hold on.
But I wanted to tell him that while he called. But no, actually, I've met him person to person a few times.
Okay, you got him.
He's really great.
He's back. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
There he is.
I made that joke about
bumping
Dick off, and he got rid of me.
Welcome back.
I was going to make a joke. I was trying to think of a joke. He was talking about that, and then we're like, Nick did have a question for you right before we lost you.
What was it?
It was, what's Sal short for?
Oh, Sal?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Actually, Sal's short for Salvatore, but I got to tell you, a lot of children have asked me about my name because they go, you know, so many children see me as Santa, so they go, how come people call you Sal? And I go, well, you know, at large is when you're away from where you're expected to be. Since everybody expects Santa to be at the North Pole, when I'm not, I'm Santa at large, and people just call me Sal.
I think that's great. I think that's completely awesome.
I never would have dreamed that was the answer.
You know, I'll tell you something I learned a long time ago is really helpful. A lot of times when I meet guys who want to follow the same profession, I tell them, you've got to be quick on your feet. Children want to believe. You just got to give them a reasonable explanation for something. Fortunately for me, I think fast enough that that's what I came up with when a child asked me about Sal. You know, it just popped right into my head. I've been lucky that way.
I actually think that's a great story. I really do, because it will make the kids sit there and go, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Well, now I got to tell you another story. One time, you know, during the off season, Santa only works, you know, like just a couple of months there. All the rest of the time, he's supposed to be making toys, but that's what he's got elves for. So in order to check upon the kids, you know, one of the ways he does it is he substitute teaches. So one year I was a substitute teacher, and I was in this class of unruly children. And the principal told me, said, you know what? If you can just manage to keep them together for half a day, we'll try to get somebody else in here to relieve you. And I said, okay. Well, while I was in there getting ready, the bell rang. So I told the children, I said, please take your seat. And so they didn't want to. So I told them, I said, you know what? What's your name? And this one person who was standing there said, told me his name, so I wrote it on the board, and then I wrote naughty above it.
Ah.
And then there were some children that were sitting in their seats, so I wrote nice, and I put their names because I could tell by the seating chart who they were. And so what happened was this one, you know, pretty soon, one of the kids who was talking, I put him on the naughty list, and somebody pointed it out to him, and he goes, hey, I don't want to be on the naughty list. And I said, well, you don't believe I'm Santa, do you? And he goes, well, you look like Santa. He goes, I don't want to take a chance. So later on, the...
He hedged his bets.
Got
to play it safe.
Yeah.
Later on, the principal comes in, and he goes, I can't believe how quiet everybody is, and they're studying. And I said, yep. And he goes, how did you get them to do that? And I said, it's real simple. I pointed to my naughty nice list on the board. And he goes, he laughs. He goes, oh, yeah, like you're Santa. And he walked away, and I looked at the kids, and I said, see, even adults don't always believe it. And so what happened was that, but it was funny because these were like, I guess, junior high school kids. But people want to believe, probably one of the best examples of an adult was when I was at a bar one time, just outside it. I wasn't in the bar. But it was Christmas time, and these two guys were fighting. And I just walked up and said, hi, guys, how are you doing? And all of a sudden, this one guy goes, Santa Claus. And they were drunk, but, you know. So I kind of attributed to that.
Yeah, it's kind of like you can't fight in front of Santa. You just can't do it.
Yeah, you don't want to piss off Santa.
No, definitely not.
No. But you know, though, that I have my darker side.
Well, of course. I mean, we've all seen
Krampus Island and Krampus part, huh?
You got the Krampus part.
Well, I heard Tom say earlier, I think that was you, Tom. What is it? Said you were a vampire?
No.
No, that,
that was me.
I wrote a vampire.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What happened was there was a time I went to a convention just to sign autographs because everybody wants my autograph. I don't know why, but somebody, it was a horror convention, and that's a horror with three R's, by the way. Just didn't want anybody to get confused. And, so I'm sitting there at my table, and people are walking by, and even though I was dressed in regular clothes, they kept saying, what's Santa doing at a horror convention? See, you know what I did? I was in a movie where I played a vampire, and I had to have my fangs with me and these black lenses, so I stuck them in, and suddenly everybody started calling me the Vampire Santa, and the goth kids loved me. And so, you know, they're usually naughty, but they started hanging out with me. And I found out something really interesting. You know, when you're an actor, people ask you whether you'd rather be the good guy or the bad guy in a movie. And more often than not, everybody wants to be the bad guy.
More fun.
Because the bad guys, they have the best lines.
Yeah.
And the other thing is you have much more flexibility. The good guys are locked into being good all the time. Whereas if you're a bad guy in a movie, you can still do good things sometimes. I mean, generally you're bad, but you can still like...
Well, you could be a bad good guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So what happened was when I became this Vampire Santa character and the goth kids started hanging out with me, guys were trying to get pictures of me biting their girlfriends on the boob, and I started on the neck and stuff. And... you guys know who Ron Jeremy is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Jeremy, I always thought he should play me in a porn, but what happens is I was at a... Now, that's another story, too. But I was at a convention one time, and Ron Jeremy came up to me and said, who thought up this Vampire Santa thing? And I said, well, that was just a character I created a couple of years back. And he goes, what are you going to do with that? And I said, well, I want to turn it into a movie. And he goes, you're an effing genius. Now, he didn't say effing. He said fucking. But I said, you know, that's pretty high praise coming from you, you know. And I said, how do you figure? And he goes, well, you know, every guy that looks like you, that looks like Santa, if they start to get flirtatious with a girl, they come across as just kind of creepy and pervy. He said, but when you made Santa a vampire, everybody knows that vampires are sexual creatures. And I see these guys coming up, and they keep, like, this one guy had his wife bend over, and you acted like you were biting her ass cheek. And he goes, I can't even get him. So
a bit of Rumpels there.
I mean, I think that is an awesome story. I mean, how many people can say that they were actually complimented by Ron Jeremy? And you grabbed his attention.
That's the one spicy meatball, you know.
Yeah. Well, now we just got to go ahead and call Fox and see if we can get it in for the fall lineup.
You know, I got to tell you, though, it's kind of funny because, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I actually make movies also now. And a long time ago, I was trying to raise money for a film called Next Door that I was doing. And so as I was looking at investors, what happened was I was talking to these guys, and I was at a convention, and this girl walks up to me one day, and she hands me a business card. And I looked at it, and it said she was an actress. And I said, oh, you're an actress? And she goes, yeah. And I said, what would you have been in anything I've seen you in? And she goes, do you watch porn? And I said, no. And she goes, well, I'm a porn actress. And she goes, wait a minute, what do you mean you don't watch porn? I thought, oh, you know, all guys do. I said, well, I did, but then I realized everybody gets lucky in those movies but me. I said, hell, all right. I said, I tried doing the
That's
job
classic
delivering
answer.
Pizzas and cleaning swimming pools, but I never got lucky. And so, but what happened was later a midget came up to me and he goes, hands me one of his cards. And I said, now why would I need a dwarf? And a midget in my, in a movie. And he goes, don't you need some naughty elves when you do a dirty Santa movie? And I said, I don't know why you guys are thinking I'm going to do a dirty Santa movie. But what it was I was on a radio program and somebody asked me one day, they said, what's your favorite movie, you know, that you've done? And I said, well, I haven't done my favorite movie yet. And they said, how many have you done? And I said, about 30. And they said, and none of them are your favorites? And I said, no. They said, why not? And I said, because I know how my favorite movie is going to end. Now, this is me doing talk radio with somebody and being a comic. And he goes, well, how does your movie end? And I said, the movie ends with me standing in a room full of naked women, and they're all exhausted. Sexually exhausted, not with my hat on and my boots in my hand, holding my junk, saying next, and then it stays flat. And so people heard me say that, and everybody kept asking me, what's the name of this movie? So one day I was up in Canada and I was at a convention, and all of a sudden this light went on, and I looked at my buddy and I said, I just thought of a name for my movie. And he goes, which one? I said, The Porno. He goes, what's that? And I said, Santa does the naughty list. I'm surprised nobody's done that yet. So.
Sounds like an instant classic.
That's what everybody kept talking about. They heard that about that, and they were handing me cards and saying they wanted to be in the movies. Girls were giving me cards, telling me they wanted to be in the movies.
Oh, wow.
And of course, this midget wanted to be a dwarf in it. And, you know, I tried to raise money for this movie I was doing, and I started these investors, and after they deliberated for a while, I said, well, gentlemen, do we have a deal? And they said, we're going to pass on this film, but we are interested in investing in Santa Claus and Naughty List. And here I was.
What's that closer? Got an instant classic on your hands, so.
I thought I needed a bad guy who could play Santa, and then I thought Ron Jeremy would be the right one for that.
Oh my gosh. Wouldn't he would be the perfect. Oh my gosh. I've never seen a Ron Jeremy movie. I promise. I have not seen, you know, the famous song. But that would be hilarious because I've watched him on reality shows and he's absolutely hilarious. And I could just imagine. Huh?
Well, I mean.
I said he's a funny guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I challenged him, though. I walked up to him at a convention in St. Louis and I said, all right, Jeremy. I said, it's time to get real here. I said, I think my sexual organ is bigger than yours. And he goes, really? He goes, because, you know, I'll just throw mine on the table right here. I don't care. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. And I said, I don't think I can get mine to out of my head. And he goes, what? And I said, you know, my brain is my biggest sexual organ. And he goes, oh, you probably had me there.
Well, you didn't try to sword fight with him.
Yeah.
Although that would have been an interesting fight.
That would have been an interesting fight.
Do you remember a movie one Harry time with John Riddle that happened?
Santa versus the Groundhog.
Yeah. You're thrusting and parrying. God, that's a fight to think of.
This is when I got to go back to one of my favorite quotes. Oh, my gosh, I need a female on the show with me. I'm kidding. No,
and
I
the hunt continues
again. Oh, sorry.
Let me get out my body here.
Well, Tom, something tells me I think we made the naughty list this year.
I always make it every year. Yeah, Santa won a million seller and a Powerball ticket, winning Powerball ticket. Yeah, I'm only asking for two things.
That was
bad.
Everybody asked me for money and lottery tickets. Either one of those, I would be a counterfeiter and thrown in jail.
Yeah.
So didn't work.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll break that cycle for you. I'd like a PS5, please.
PS5? Wait a minute, I gotta check my list. Don't hold your breath, buddy.
Oh, I'm having a lot of fun on this show. This is great.
It always is.
I do want to get into something serious with you because I know that you. We're going to get in serious. We're going to get this out of the way just for a second, and we'll have fun and games again. You suffered a major brain injury.
Yep, I did.
How are you doing with that?
Well, you know, that doesn't kill us makes us stronger, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, people ask me all the time, they go, hey, Sal, how you doing? I go, well, I woke up this morning, and then I don't say anything else.
I like what George Burns, he said, every morning I lay in bed and I look at the obituary. When I realize that my name's not in the obituaries, I'll get up and get out of bed.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, I got to tell you, the only other thing that I had a stroke caused by a ruptured blood vessel in my head. And the doctor told me not only was he surprised I was still alive, but the fact is I did not lose any of my cognitive abilities. I was in the hospital or in a rehab center, and they were checking to see how my mind was working. So the gal pulls out a math book they used. And she was giving me numbers to add up and stuff. And she gave me a pad and pencil. And then she was telling me, you know, giving me these math problems. And I was just answering her. And she would go to the back of the book to check my answers. And she goes, you're right. And then finally she goes, how are you doing this? You're not even writing anything down. And I said, well, honey, I learned how to do it without a calculator. And so what happened was, you know, I quit my radio show because I thought my speech was messed up, but everybody tells me I sound okay. And I only lost two things as a result of it. I lost use of my left arm, and I lost use of my left eye. And what happens is, and my right eye is not all that great. So what happens is I have to magnify my computer screen like 750 times to read it. But I still went to a tennis tournament this past weekend. Pictures are on Facebook. And what happened was my eye doctor, when I saw him on Monday, he said, could you even see the tennis ball? I said, Doc, I didn't go to watch the tennis ball. He goes, you didn't? And I said, no, what I went for is because it was mixed doubles. And so half of the people there were women with long legs and short skirts. I didn't really care about the tennis. Yeah.
Don't worry, got a good view. Yeah.
You know, I was still watching, you know, my head was moving around. You know, I was watching them as they ran to hit the ball. So everybody thought I was watching the ball.
That's what it is. He's a really major tennis fan. So like he had a full recovery.
Yeah, yeah, they're like 3 days in a row. It was a tournament.
Yeah.
I love this guy.
But ding. We hit Yahtzee.
Yeah. I think that's great because, you know, I'm watching you in the, I have a vision of you in the stands and I'm trying to get that out of my head. As I'm trying to ask you this question, it's like Santa's last sitting in the stands.
Now we need Nick to translate for everybody.
I gotta tell you though, it's one of
those things where I'm freaking crap. I got tears rolling down my face. Oh my gosh, my belly's hurting. I'm laughing so hard. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna dream about that
stuff. I don't know, Sal. Maybe it's just a beach volleyball.
Okay.
Maybe you should have gone for beach volleyball instead.
There was a time when I was down in the Georgia area. That's where I had this happen. And when I got out of the hospital, I saw my eye doctor, and he said, "Are you doing any eye exercises?" I said, "Yeah, every day I go to the beach and watch the girls jog."
Oh my gosh.
Well, that counts.
Yeah.
Well, we see, now we're gonna bring it. Now we got to get you down this way to Florida, so that then you can really have some fun with the mud wrestling.
You know what I'm having fun with is when I'm when I run into a girl and she says, "Are your eyes really that bad?" And I say, "Yep, I'm pretty sure if you lift up your shirt, I won't see a thing."
That'll be 2020 real quick.
Oh my gosh, I'm literally got tears rolling down my face. I'm laughing so hard.
Consider yourself lucky on that one, Sal.
Yeah.
One of our running jokes down here, my wife still likes to bring up and talk about at times. In one sense, you and I are in a similar boat. I'm legally blind without my glasses. So I went in to get my eye exam, and it was a new doctor. And we went through all the normal stuff, going through, you know, reading the list, everything else. She's like, "Okay, you're all done." And I got I had my arm stretched out, and I'm like, "Wow, your hand's really soft." And doctor's like, "Mr. Brower, that's my chest." I'm like, "Oh, okay, so my glasses are further down, but listen, good news for you, doc, I don't feel any lumps."
Yeah,
what the hell?
You know what? It brings up another point, though. Since I have had this brain injury, I've become very familiar with the ADA, you know, the American Disabilities Act. And you know what that is, right? Where they're supposed to provide accommodation for people who are handicapped.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I was at Western Kentucky University recently, and the girls' volleyball team was there. And I said to one of them, I said, "Are you familiar with the ADA?" And she goes, "No." And then one of the other girls said, "Yeah, I know what that is." And I said, "Well, then maybe you should tell me so I make sure you know what you're saying." And she goes, "Yeah. It says that if you're handicapped, people are supposed to do things to accommodate you." She said, "That's correct." And I said, "Have you ever noticed how a blind man sees?" And she goes, "What? You mean like with a cane?" And I said, "No, when he tells the girl, 'Can I see your face?'" She goes, "Oh, yeah, they feel of it." And I said, "Yep, that's true." And I said, "Now, let me post something to you. I said, if I'm blind, you know, most sighted guys can look at a girl and say, nice rack, or it must be kind of cold out. And I said, well, a blind guy can't. And I said, so would you be offended if I reached out and felt your breast, you know? And she goes, well, that would get your face slapped. I said, wouldn't you be breaking the law if you did that? And she goes,
oh, my God.
And I said, well, when I become totally blind, I'm going to start advocating for blind people's rights to feel breasts.
Oh, my gosh. You would be like the Peter Griffin of... Oh, my
gosh.
The one thing I got to say about this, I'm telling you, you've had me on the floor. I mean, well, I wasn't really on the floor, but I am just cracking up laughing, listening to your stories. You're taking a sense of humor about all this, and a lot of people are just like, screw you! But
yeah,
you're not. You're like, I'm gonna fight this. I'm not done.
You know, they said I was, though. Before this happened to me, I was so busy that I was getting film offers, and I was, there was one, it happened to me in September. And that following month in October, there were 5 weekends, and I was scheduled to appear at a convention every weekend that month, all 5 weekends.
Wow.
And what happened was, and just before the month started that I was going to be going to these conventions, this happened to me. So what happened was, when I finally got out of rehab and stuff, I called my manager, Beth, up, and I said, you know what? I'm ready to get back on the road again and make some money. You know, I'd already appeared in one film, and I'd already done stand-up on one stage. And she said, okay, I'll see what I can do. So she called around, and she called me back and said, Sal, I know this is going to break your heart. She goes, but everybody says you're dead. And I said, I'm not dead. She said, well, they said, I heard he died. And when I say, no, he just had a brain injury, they said, well, he's dead in this business. So I was really kind of bummed out for a while, but then I got determined I was not going to be dead in this business. So I sat down, and I wrote a script for a movie called Vampire Santa. It had been rolling around in my head for a while, and when I submitted it to some festivals and stuff, what happened was I was told it was too much for one script. So I turned that one script into 7 other scripts.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Wow, nice. That's impressive. That's nice.
Yep. I've got 7 movie scripts, all full-length films, based on one story. And so they're serialized, like Star Wars. And and then I've got an 8th movie, and that one there, it's more like a Rocky Horror Picture Show type thing. It's a musical soft porn Christmas film.
Well, you have me at Rocky Horror, so let me know when it's going to premiere.
All righty.
Same here.
So I'll probably be on this show announcing those kinds of things.
Well, that'll be even better.
That'd be cool.
Yep.
So, if we can coordinate it, maybe we'll even try to do a live show from the premiere. Make it really fun.
Hey, we're on to something now.
Yeah.
Now, this first movie I'm doing is called The Beginning, obviously. And I've got some really good people in it. I've got some actors from The Walking Dead. I've got some well-known horror actors who have signed on. You know, I hope I can afford them. I'm trying to raise all the money up to get it made. But I've got people like Debbie Rochon that are interested. I don't know if you guys know who Debbie Dutch is, but Debbie Dutch has a good role in it. And
I've heard the name.
Yeah, she's known as the Hollywood Warrioress because she's always playing she was in movies like where she plays, what do you call those gals? you know, the warrior type gals, like an Amazon.
Like a Valkyrie.
Valkyries?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's a great looking gal, big boobs, small waist. And, you know, she appears nude in this. And I've got Donna Hamlin, who's a martial arts sword fighter coming from Las Vegas. I've got, I think I mentioned it or Sean already. Oh, and Ron, not Ron Jeremy, but...
I was going to say, you better say Ron Jeremy, and you almost did.
No. But I do have some up-and-coming stars, like there's a little gal who, her dad is a police officer, and he was at a convention I was working at, and this girl came up to me and said she wanted to be an actress, and I said, well, you know, it's pretty hard work, and I said, but if you get a little older and you're still interested, I'll try to get you into something. So he contacted me and said, oh, remember when you told McKenna? So McKenna Rode is her name. She's a very attractive little girl, and she came to the set, and she nailed her part. And she had all of her lines down, and she was really good. Her delivery was great. And she's now been booked in about 8 other films. And so I tell her dad all the time, I go, I hope she remembers that I started her in all this. And he goes, oh, yeah. And so, but
that's great. I mean,
you know,
you're paving the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like to help out people where I can.
I know
that's,
you
that's
do. Like I said, you're such a nice guy.
Well, you know, I hope that's the reason why people love me, and now, because of popular demand, I'm starting to get back out there again. You know, I mean, I'm making films. We've already started shooting this year, and we're going to hopefully do the main, you know, if I get all the money together, we're supposed to do principal photography next year. I've got a cast of over 100 extras and, you know, good actors, well-known actors, some of them. And then, let me see, what else? And I've started to go to conventions again starting this month. At the end of this month, I'm going to be in a little town called Post Town, Ohio. And it's outside of Cincinnati. And I'm going to be there signing autographs, called Non-Con. And there's more about that on my Facebook page. And then after that, I'm doing a movie night in the 1st of October in Owensboro, Kentucky, where they're going to be showing some of my films. I'll be there signing autographs and stuff and appearing as the Vampire Santa. And then finally, I'm going to be at Scarefest, the first really big horror convention I've been at since all this happened. But they're bringing me
that's
back.
That's great. That's cool. Yeah, that's good.
I'm going to have some of my cast members there and my doppelganger, Bobby Gray. I found a guy who looks so much like me that my wife and daughter couldn't tell us apart in our pictures.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's kind of like the little dilemma between Tom and I, where we both sound alike.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
And on radio, that can be quite confusing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's also equally fun.
Oh, yeah, we've had some fun with it, yeah.
So I'll be doing all the usual things I do at conventions, giving away T-shirts to girls and show me their boobs.
Oh, damn it. Can we FaceTime you and show you our boobs, and then we get the free... Nick, show your boobs.
I'll
show
my
boobs.
I'll tell you
Nick says he'll show his boobs for a shirt.
You
know what? If
Nick's going to
do it, I'll do it too.
No, it doesn't work for the guys.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I have to wear a bra,
I'll just moon the camera.
Tell me, any girl who's 3 feet bigger than mine, she don't get one either. What happened was, I was at a convention one time in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I had these T-shirts that said, I slept with Sal Lizard. It had my picture on it, and I sold those things, but this girl walked up and said, I really want one of those shirts, and I said, you do? She goes, yeah. I said, okay, it's $20. And she goes, but I don't have any money. I said, well, then I guess you can't have a shirt. She goes, how about if I show you my tits? Can I get a shirt? I said, well, my eyes aren't that great.
Yeah.
I said, if you'll show me your tits for 3 seconds, then, yeah, I'll give you a shirt. So she raised her shirt up, and I counted them off, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. And I gave her a shirt. Well,
that'd have been a no-brainer.
Comes over a little later and says, a friend of mine got a T-shirt from you. And I said, okay. And she goes, I want one, too. And I said, hey, $20. She goes, she got hers for free. I said, no, she didn't. She goes, yeah, she didn't pay you anything. I said, oh, no, she paid. I said, are you willing to pay what she paid? She goes, yeah. And so I said, all right, 3 seconds. And so she did. And Kayla Perkins was a young actress next to me. And she's like 22 years old, I think. And she goes, man, Sal, I've known you for years. And she goes, I've never seen you do this. And she goes, but I tell you one thing, though, I can't sit next to you anymore. And I said, why? I didn't mean to offend you. She goes, no, she goes, these girls have nice breasts. I might turn into a lesbian if I hang out with you.
That's funny.
And after that, I got some T-shirts made that said, I flashed out Blizzard my boots for this T-shirt. And, see, it is cool to come over and do it. And I had mothers and daughters come and do it together. And I had, I had one gal who came up to me and told me she wanted one and she flashed her boobs. And I looked at her and said, how old are you, honey? She said, 16. I said, no, you can't do it. So then her mom comes over and goes, if I flash you my boobs, can I get a T-shirt for my daughter? I said, I guess you can. So that's what she did.
Gee, baby, I need to do this at my conventions.
Last time I was at Scarefest. The last time I was at Scarefest, the same place I'm going to this October, I gave away like 37 T-shirts that weekend.
Get down.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so here's what we got to do. We got to figure out how to get you and Tom as table mates.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, pull through my book while you're doing it too.
It's kind of funny because now they tell me all the time. Every time I was right at the end there, every time I do a convention, they kept saying, "Everybody wants a table next to yours." They go, "Can't figure out."
That's where a lot of fun
You're
is.
A great tipper. That's why they want your table.
No, actually, what's funny is there was a time when people would come up to me and just talk because some people find me entertaining. And so what they would do is they just hang up my table and talk, and I'd tell jokes and stuff. And then I realized I'm not really selling anything, you know, because these people that do this, most of them have already bought my merch. And so I finally got to the point where I started telling people, "Do you do me a favor? Don't cash block me. Get out of here." And because that didn't work all the time, I finally put up a sign that said, "You know, I'm an entertainer by trade. So if you are entertained while you're here, please consider tipping me." You know, and what happened was I had this vase there. Hell, there was one day on one weekend where I had like $180 in that tip jar.
Wow.
Not bad
at all.
I tell you, I love having fun. I love making people laugh.
Because you've done stand-up.
Yeah. Yeah, and it makes it kind of interesting because a lot of guys have tried to do what I do, and they just get in trouble. And I said, you know, when you're an actual stand-up comic, you learn to read the crowd. And you can tell what you can get away with and what you can't.
Yeah, I've met a lot of stand-up comics. In fact, we've had a lot of stand-up comics. In fact, the guy goes, nah, 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 at the beginning of the show. All right, that is by Steve Mingola, who I met in Columbia, South Carolina as a stand-up. Well, he still is a stand-up comedian. Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, comedy is hard, and public speaking is hard. You put those two together, know, that's probably has to be the hardest job in the world. Would you agree with that?
What happens? Who, me? No. It just comes naturally to me. As a matter of fact, you know, I used to work in radio, and I'm talking about terrestrial radio, and they hired me because they had a class every Monday, and see, I was hired to do sales, and they had a class every Monday where they were trying to teach people how to sell, and it was a mandatory meeting everybody had to go to, but I didn't have to go to it. And one day somebody asked the sales director, they said, how come Sal doesn't have to go to any of these meetings? They said, have you ever been out with Sal? And they said, no. He goes, you know, the hardest thing to do is to ask for money for people. And he goes, Sal will walk into somebody and he'll say, can I help you? And he'll say, yep, write me a check. And he'll say, what? And he'll say, I'm a sales guy. I need to go home with a check. And they'll say, well, no, I can't just write you a check. And he goes, and then he says, well, let me tell you about what I'm offering you. And when I've spoken enough, you can write me a check. And so what happens is they, and I would be about halfway through there, and if I had them agreeing and nodding and stuff, I'd say, oh, are you ready to write a check yet? And they'd say no, and I'd say, well, I'll keep talking. And they said, you know, and he'll talk to a water spigot. And so I'm not shy at all.
No, I mean,
I'm not at all shy yet. And so, and as far as jokes go, I don't know, they just come to me naturally. I walk out on the stage, well, with help, right after my brain injury, and I said to everybody, I said, how many of you people here know me as a stand-up comic? And a whole lot of people applauded, right? And I said, well, fuck you. I just had brain injury. I'm sitting down. And that's when everybody laughed. I did my joke sitting down. And, you know, it's one of those things where I said, you know, and I told stroke jokes, too. I said, you know, when you have a stroke, it affects your brain. I said, now, in my case, it affected my left arm. And I said, why couldn't it have affected that part of my body that would have given me a constant erection? That would have been a stroke of luck.
You know? That would have been worth having.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But the good thing
I'm
about
still stuck
it
on
is
the T-shirt idea, Sal.
Huh?
I'm still stuck on your T-shirt idea for some conventions.
You know what? All these guys told me, they go, I wish I had thought of that. And I go, oh, hell, you thought about it. I just had the balls to do it.
I actually didn't think about it.
Well, I was at one convention where the guy walks up to me and goes, the guy who was running the convention, he goes, here's your table. And I said, great. And then the people around me go, oh, good, we're in the dirty section. And he goes, no, there is no dirty section. He looks at me and says, you can't give away any T-shirts this weekend. And I said, why not? He goes, it's a family-friendly place. There's going to be kids here. Well, what happened was I still gave away T-shirts. That's where the lady who got one for her daughter was at. But what it was, the next day when he saw me, he came up to me and goes, damn it, Sal. He goes, I'm seeing all of your kinds of T-shirts around here. And say, I splashed Sal Lizard my boobs. And I said, oh, yeah. And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, why does that piss you off? And he goes, because my mom's wearing one. And I said, he goes,
yeah, that's classic.
She's my mom. I said, well, she's not my mom. And I said, and besides, she's got a nice rack. And he goes, well, it still makes me angry. And I said, well, I hope you don't run into your aunt or your sister.
Oh, wow. Classic. I tell you, absolute genius. Yeah, it is. Wish I'd have thought of that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, you know what, Tom? I mean, you know, you're definitely a lot more quieter than Sal is. So why don't you make a little sign on the table that says, would you like a free autographed copy? Ask me how.
I can see Tom going, well, you know, you got to lift your shirt up and, you know, catch that undergarment at the same time. You know, it's a one-stroke motion, and you got to hold it for 3 seconds. you know, I'll find your book.
Yeah. Well, usually my luck is if they're costume people, they'll pose with my book and then they'll start looking at it. And, hey, I think I'll get this. So it's like I won't turn away a sale that way. So, you know.
You know, I was at a convention in Syracuse where a guy and his wife came up. She was kind of dragging him to my table. And she said, I want to get one of these T-shirts. And he looked at it and he goes, I'm not buying you a T-shirt that says you slept with Sal Lizard. And this was before the flashing T-shirts. And so she goes, why not? He goes, because I'm just not going to do it. You're not going to wear something like that out in public. She goes, well, I want a T-shirt. Can I get the other one? The other one said, to some I'm a MILF, but to the comedy zombie, I'm a mile. Comedy zombie was one of my characters. A mile, a mother I'd like to eat. And so what happened was he goes, well, I'm not going to buy you a shirt that says you're a mother that somebody wants to eat. And she goes, well, what if I get an oversized one that I can wear to bed? And he said, well, okay, I'll do that. So then she has me sign it, and she has him take the picture of her holding it up in front of her. And then I say, would you like for me to put that in the bag? And she goes, sure. And then she spreads it down on the table, and she goes, by the way, and she points to her husband to the last line that said, mother, I'd like to eat. And she goes, I'm going to wear this every night to bed. And you see this line right here? And he goes, yeah. And she goes, that's a fucking clue, you asshole. And so he looked at me
that's
and I
funny.
Said, dude, you should have just got the first shirt. That way, if she wanted sex, you feel like you could say, go sleep with that Sal Lizard again, you know?
That's funny.
One of my favorite things is a lesbian girl bought one of those shirts that I saw the Sal Lizard, and she told me her girlfriend makes her turn it inside out when she wears it to bed. And I said, that's even better for me because that's my face against the
shirt. Oh, my God.
That's good. You're good.
Oh,
I think we're going to call you the master.
But I'm ting.
So you like convention?
Say what?
I said, so you like conventions. I was trying to do Dana Carvey, the church lady.
Oh, okay.
Well, isn't that special?
There we go. I was trying to add some comedy to it. I'm sorry you flopped.
Oh, that's all right, Francie. You can't be lovable. Oh, I got to tell you a story. My mother, one time I went to Indianapolis, Indiana. I was appearing at a comedy club there in Broad Ripple. And I called my mother, who lived in Indianapolis, and I said, hey, Mom, how you doing? She goes, all right, where you at, honey? Because she knew I traveled a lot. I said, I'm in Broad Ripple. And she goes, you're in town? And I said, yeah. And she goes, you'll come see me? And I said, well, I can't right now. I'm getting ready to go on stage. And she goes, well, on stage? I said, yeah, tonight I'm appearing at Crackers Comedy Club. And she goes, why? And I said, what do you mean, why? I'm a stand-up comic. And she goes, well, honey, you're not funny. And I said, what do you mean I'm not funny? I said, you know, she goes, I've known you all your life. I was her oldest child. She goes, you went to college, for God's sake. You've always been very serious. And she goes, you can't be serious and be funny. And I said, Mom, trust me, comics are some serious people. And she goes, but they're not that, they can't be, you know, with your education, you were a pre-med student. I said, I know, but she goes, so you can't be that funny. And I said, I am. And she goes, I don't think so. And I said, well, Mom, why don't you come to the comedy club tonight? And she goes, don't those places cost money to get into? I said, I can get you in for free. Don't I have to buy a couple of drinks or eat something? I said, don't worry about that. And she goes, well, you know, the traffic is pretty rough. I said, I'll send a car to pick you up. And she goes, oh, I don't think so. And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, well, let me hear you say, get her done, you know. And I said, I'm not going to say that. And she goes,
yeah.
Well, you do want me to see you, don't you? And I said, yeah. She goes, let me hear you say, get her done. I said, okay, Mom, get her done. She goes, that's not funny. I said, of course not. You've got to have the right, you know, everything for that. And I said, trust me, you'll enjoy my comedy. She goes, honey, not everybody can be Jeff Foxworthy funny, but anybody can be Larry the Cable Guy. And I said, well, come on out, Mom, and listen to my jokes. And she goes, no, I'm not going to come. And I said, why not? And she goes, honey, I'm afraid that if I'm there and I don't laugh at your jokes, you'll feel brokenhearted and discouraged. And you know that lady went to her grave and never saw me do stand-up. So, you know what I did? I told jokes at her funeral. I figured, what the heck? One way or another, I was going to do, you know, perform in
front of
going to
be your audience.
Yeah,
captain
right.
audience.
So, but yeah, it was funny. I can't be funny because I'm too smart, according to my mom.
I actually read an autobiography. I told you I was stalking you today. Your mom was a single mom that raised you, and you have a lot of brothers and sisters.
I do. Mom was a very friendly girl.
And
I have.
You really didn't get to know your dad very much because I guess they got divorced really soon.
Well, actually, they didn't get married until after I was born. And then my brother, the next one in line, he was born, but they were divorced by then because she kept my dad like to have fun with other lots of women. So... anyway, what happened was, she grew up as I grew up as with a single mother and a whole lot of uncles, and I have brothers and sisters all over the place. But
yeah,
I love my mom.
Oh yeah, that definitely shows. That is something that I have read, how much you loved your mom.
Well, I realized something, and that was, you know, she would do anything to make sure that we were fed and clothed and housed.
And she always made sure that you got that special Christmas present every Christmas.
Oh, yeah, she did. She made sure we always had a good Christmas. And sometimes, you know, to be honest with you, when I was a little boy, we were so poor that Mom was a single mother, and it was hard for her to be socially acceptable. So it was hard for her to find jobs and stuff. And we lived in a house where the landlord, he came over occasionally and spent the night. But and the neighbors would provide us with fish, or when they would go fishing or they'd go hunting, they'd bring over some meat. Otherwise, if they didn't have fish or meat for us, game, we ate nothing but potatoes and beans. That was it.
I bet there was a lot of gas flowing around. You're the problem.
Still
that
is.
Global warming.
Yep. My granddaughter, she still loves. She goes, Papa, you farted. And I go, yeah, I did. She goes, so then she'll raise her leg up and fart. My granddaughter, she goes, told her grandmother, she goes, I love to fart. Papa farts.
I grew up, you know, not very rich either, as you know, we were in the poverty level also. And when I went to a restaurant, I thought that every food was a bean. And my mom said that one time we went to a restaurant because I had to go potty. And instead of going to the bathroom, I ran up to the counter and said, I want a bean. So I know what you're talking about, the bean and potatoes.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom struggled, but boy, I tell you, she took care of us.
My mom did, too. You know, she gave up a lot of stuff for us to have stuff. And, you know, those are the people that you look up to. You're just like, man. And you look at them and you think about everything. You're like, how the hell did you do it?
Yeah, my mom, she
was a lot
of crap. But, I would say rest her soul, but I figure, you know, she's she didn't come to my performance, so screw her. So, actually, to be honest with you, I love my mother, and I met my dad when I was 50 years old, and I had a lot of fun with that because I was sitting on Facebook one night, and a window popped up, and this girl says, "I think you're my brother." And
wow.
What happened was my grandmother had told her that she had a brother. And so she asked my dad and his wife, her mother, she said, "I heard I have a brother." And they said, "No, that's not possible." And so then what happened was when she met me, she saw my picture, she said, "You know, I look just like her dad." And so what happened was I found out from my aunt that she was my sister. So when I went to meet her and my other two sisters, it was kind of funny because I also met my stepmother, and I told the girls, I found out where my sense of humor came from. It came from my dad's side of the family because they all have warped senses of humor too. So I told them, I said, "I'm going to have fun when I meet my stepmother." And Frosty, my dad, by the way, his name was Frosty. That's what everybody called
him. I was going to say, yeah, you Frosty because he had the beard and everything like you did, and he... Yeah, I told you I stalked you.
Yep. And what happened was when they said, you know, that I was coming to town, he got really worried. He said, "Well, I guess we're going to have to have a DNA test." And my one sister who had always wanted a brother, she was really angry. She goes, "Oh, so he could be my real brother." And he goes, "Yeah." And she goes, "Well, you're not going to need a DNA test. He looks just like you." So then... he said, "Well, I never saw him before." And then when met me, he goes, "Last time I saw you, you were only a year and a half old." And boy, that really put her over the top. But while I was shaking his wife's hand, I really shook it hard, which made her chest jiggle. And I looked at her and I said, "You know what? I just realized something. Of all the people in this room, you're the only one I'm not related to." And I said, "You have a hell of a rack, lady." And boy, she grabbed her.
Welcome to the family.
That's right.
Show me your boobs!
So anyway, it was it's been pretty crazy. But yeah, I met my dad, then he's passed on also now, so.
Yeah.
But he said, "I would hope that you could find it in your heart to forgive me." And I said, "Oh, I forgave you long ago." And he goes, "I don't know how you could have. You didn't know me." And I said, "Well, to be honest with you, Pop," I said, "I've lived for a while, and I said, I've known a lot of girls in my life, and I'm pretty sure I pissed off a few of them. I said, I didn't mean to, but I, you know, you can't help but hurt people sometimes." And I said, "But I think I'm a pretty good guy, and I would hope they would forgive me." And he said, "But I realized one time that I couldn't expect people to forgive me if I wasn't willing to forgive them. So I forgave you before I ever met you." Which,
wow.
Yeah, he went along peacefully.
That's actually very powerful words.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. You know, and I mean, I know for a lot of people, that's one of the hardest things to do. So just to be able to go through with it, hats off to you, Sal.
Yep.
I've been told by a lot of people I'm weird the way I think and stuff. Like when I was a young man, some of you guys might recognize this. Now, like I said, I'm 60 years old. So when I was a young man, I'm talking like back in 1972 or whatever, what happened was I dated a lot of girls while I was in college, and I used to give 5 keys out to my apartment. And I would tell the girls, "Be sure to call before you come over because I may not be alone. There's 4 other keys out there."
Oh, you're a player.
Swinging 70s.
Oh, we are about to be cut off. Sal, I want you back. I want you back.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of talk. We got we've only, dug the surface.
We've only just
Sal,
begun.
I want you back.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
you gotta come back,
Sal. I think
Sal.
We lost Sal. Sal? We lost
Sal. Well, you're
going to
lose me, too, because I got to crash.
I
Sal
know.
Sal is well building.
He's amazing,
yep.
Isn't he?
Oh, yeah, we got to have him
yeah.
back. He's fun.
Yeah, we definitely got to have him. All right, we dropped his call, and we are in archive right now. I swear I did not hang up on him because I was talking to him, and I was going to say we're about to be cut off,
good.
And I don't. Yeah. All right. I did not hang up on him. I promise. I will message him. Yeah, we got to get him back on because he's actually lived an adventurous life. He was talking about he went to medical school. Yeah, he was a emergency medical technician in environmental health. I mean, there's a lot of things that he has done. So I want to touch on a lot more of that. And
yep,
he's a vampire. Yeah,
we got
to get Sal back. I absolutely adore Sal. Listen to Sal. I promise I did not hang up on Sal, and I promise I wouldn't do that. All right, so.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, you guys. And remember, you're going to dream about Sal watching, him watching
Oops.
A tennis match.
Yeah. Good night, everybody. It's been real. It's been fun. So it's been really fun.
And thank you, William and Tom, for coming on here for this special show.
Oh, anytime. Anytime at all.
I think it was a great show. And, yes, I totally agree. The three of us make a great team. Here we go. Let's do David Lee Roth calls into Francie and Friends.
All right.
Hey, guys, in honor of the Grammys, I have a rock and roll legend, a rock and roll Hall of Famer here with me. Guy had a record come out last Tuesday. He sold over 100 million records worldwide. You want me to see if I can get him on the line?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Hey, congrats to whomever that is.
Diamond, you.
Yeah. Oh. So, Melody, are you going to be playing John Philbin when you're out there?
Hold on.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he'd appreciate me discussing his personal life either, but hopefully.
I mean, he lives in my sister's neighborhood. I have yet to visit my sister, but they actually are practically neighbors.
Oh, very cool. Wait, I think we got a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer coming in.
Okay, he's willing to sing for us, but I don't think he wants to talk. Is that cool with you guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it going on?
He wants us to do the chorus. I think we'll know his voice. I'm gonna hand him the phone. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
I live my life like there's no tomorrow. All I've got, I have still. Least I don't need to beg or borrow. I'm living at a place that kills.
Woo! Running with the devil.
Wow.
I'm trying
That's
to
great.
Think. Yeah!
Hey, you tell David Lee Roth there's another Hoosier on the phone here. From his hometown.
We've got all right, guys. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Thank you for singing. Who was that?
It was David Lee Roth.
What? David Lee Roth?
Melody!
What? Really?
Yes.
Holy crap!
Get Diamond Dave
you
on the phone.
You missed out on something. David Lee Roth just sang live on our show.
Get Diamond Dave on the phone.
Yes,
another...
he's David Madison right now. Holy crap! Let me see who he is. I'll recognize the face.
You know who he is.
Dan Halen! Oh, holy fuckers, that was